Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today's broadcast is our church service for all of you around the world listening. This will be a time to give spiritual encouragement and help you cope. So this is not our regularly scheduled broadcast interviewing various guests, celebrities, writers, artists. This is our online church service, and we welcome you all. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And happy birthday to my friend in Crown Point, Jerry Tabor. This is his spiritual birthday, accepting Christ on Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day to his wife, Anne. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, all the mothers out there. My sweet son is taking Sherry momentarily for an outing for Mother's Day. I know it's a hard day for some of you who have had mothers who have passed. And I just want to encourage you that the scripture says in Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And your mother looks like she did on her wedding day in heaven. She's just glorious in her glorified body, and there will be a reunion. You will see her again. Also, if this is a tough day for some of you, we had someone that comes to one of our house churches. It was very sad that she hasn't been able to be a mother in the physical sense. But I want to encourage those of you that have not been a mother or have some sadness about that, that you, there's many ways to be a mother also. Isaiah 54:1 says, sing, O woman who has been barren and not born a child, for many shall be your spiritual children. When I came to the Lord at 16 at the Sheridan Inn on McKnight Road in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I was a long-haired guitar player, and I went forward at an altar call, and some men prayed on me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was just glowing, sitting in the parking lot afterwards. I was 16, and a young hippie woman, this was the late 70s, the hippies, long hair, flowers in her hair, named Kathy, came up to me and said, "You're glowing," and I saw what happened to you in there. It was very powerful and very spiritual. And I wasn't even driving yet. I had just turned 16. I went a couple months later and got my driver's license. But she said, I'd like to take you with me to meet somebody. And it was Mother Teresa. She was speaking at the University of Pittsburgh. And Mother Teresa, I got to meet her and hear her speak with my friend Kathy, who was had been a Christian a couple years. She was in her late 20s. And so she started taking me all these things. But Mother Teresa said that she had many children, many, many children. She said, the poor are my children and they are Christ when I look in the faces of the poor. And then she also told us that you have the worst poverty in America, because even though you have a lot of material things, you have spiritual poverty. And there's many people that are a mother to many spiritual children. My friend Josie, who's on this broadcast, there's a film about her life called On Faith Alone. You can watch it on YouTube. Just search On Faith Alone, Josie Pollock. And in that film that our friend, director Noel Amy made, Josie says these men in the prison are her children. And there's great teachers like my friend Kelly Tabor in the Southeast, who, congratulations, Kelly, on winning this week a big contest for the best teacher, and won a big gift basket from Killen's store with homemade caramel and homemade pastries and things like that. But Kelly has won the Golden Apple as a teacher, and she is a mother to children every year, a whole new flock of children, and then embraces them as they come in the front door of her class and then releases them as they go out the door at the end of the school year and says tearful goodbyes. And she's one of the greatest mothers ever, you know, to a whole new class of kids. And you'll find that love is procreative, and there are spiritual mothers out there. In fact, it says in Titus that you women that have been in the faith longer, you know, be a mother to those others, you know, those ones that are younger in the faith. And also I'm reminded in Timothy, in one of the early chapters of Timothy, the first chapter, I think 2 Timothy, he says, Timothy, the faith is in you because it was in your mother, Lois, and your grandmother Eunice. And So godly mothers have a powerful influence. But on this day, I know some of you, either your mother may have passed, or maybe you didn't have a nurturing mother. Maybe your mother was gave you up or was cold. We've had people write in that they never really had that nurturing. In fact, I wrote a song about the universal hunger to be mothered, to be nurtured. It's called Mother Me, and the chorus says, Mother Me, lay me at your breast. Mother Me, let me take a rest. Mother Me, I have stood the test of time. But, you know, the Psalm 27 promises us, Psalm 27, verse 14, that's one of the first psalms that I memorized. And in fact, my mother Dorothy memorized this psalm also. But in verse 14 of the 27th psalm, it says, when my mother forsakes me and my father abandons me, the Lord shall take me up. And you know, one of God's names in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. Do you know what Shad means in the Hebrew? It means breast. It literally, and this might wig some people out, but El Shaddai, the Hebrew in the Old Testament, literally means the breasted, nurturing God. And yes, he's our Heavenly Father. We pray our Father who art in heaven. But in the Psalm 131, verse 2, it says that God nurses and nurtures us like a mother, a baby who is weaned. So if you feel you need that love right now, in this time of social distancing, God's love is not distance. God's love and healing power is right there to touch you and to nurture you and to mother and father you, to be your El Shaddai. El Shaddai in Exodus 6, verse 2 and 3 was revealed. It says El Shaddai was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so before we look into our message today, which I'm going to be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, here is a song based on that Hebrew, the God that will love us like a mother. It's El Shaddai by our friend Amy Grant. Play a little bit of this, and we'll be back to share some more scriptures and message about Mary, the mother of Jesus. El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ilham Kama Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, you saved the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really is. You are the wife, let your children be. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still.
Father, we pray healing and full recovery, Lord. Full recovery for those in our online congregation who have contracted coronavirus. We pray complete healing. You are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Rophe, the healer. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for the well-being of all listening through your power, your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your grace upon each and every one, your healing grace during this pandemic time. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless you, Lord.
Over the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, so the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. I will praise you till I die.
Welcome to Rich Rossi Live. If you're just joining us, this is our online worship service. Happy Mother's Day. And we're going to look into the scriptures. I'd like to do a brief message from the Bible about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how central she was to the ministry of Jesus. As the mother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Mary certainly stands apart from all women throughout history. Can you imagine being the mother of the Son of God, God the Son? She's become the embodiment of motherhood. The angel Gabriel visited Mary. He knew her exact address. She was a humble young girl. And God knows where you are. He has chosen you in love before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 says. And he had his plan. It said in Micah hundreds of years earlier that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. It said, you, Bethlehem, least of the clans of Judah, would be the place the everlasting life would be, the everlasting life and light would be born. Gabriel, who's a messenger angel, there are several archangels in the Bible. Michael is the warrior angel, but Gabriel is the messenger archangel, came with a message. And both Gabriel and Mary's cousin Elizabeth said of Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, and also in verse 42, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So this great mother Mary had a humble beginning. She was an obscure girl. She was living in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. But at a very tender and young age, she had a choice to follow God's will. And she said in Luke 1:38, be it done to me, Lord, according to your word. And that's one of the things about her as a mother, is that she was always open to what God wanted. I mean, there were tremendous dangers on the surface of what was happening here. The mark of illegitimacy because of the virgin birth, because of being pregnant without marriage initially, or without a man initially. There was a possibility of great punishment. You may recall the Old Testament had some very harsh laws that were practiced in stoning a woman that was pregnant and unmarried. Now, we know Jesus Christ revealed the new covenant of mercy, which is the letter of the law killeth. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit gives life. And so when he confronted this legalistic spirit, Jesus Christ did, you may recall when they wanted to stone the woman and said she's caught in adultery in John chapter 8. And he said, let the one that is without sin throw the first stone. They were trying to trap Jesus, and they thought they had him trapped, because if he says don't stone her, they could say, oh, you're going against the Old Testament scriptures that say she should be stoned. You're going against the word of God, that sort of thing. But if he did consent to the stoning, then he would be in violation of the Roman law, which by that time had outlawed stoning. But he wrote in the sand, and I believe perhaps he was taking time to say, ask the Father, what should I do? And he said, let the one that is without sin throw the first stone. Now, he could have thrown the stone. He was the perfect Son of God, but he didn't, and he showed mercy. But his mother at this point was not under that cultural ethos of mercy and grace. She was in a culture of law, and she was in great danger. And yet she said, be it done to me according to your word. And she believed the angel Gabriel. And she believed, as Luke 1:37, she said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And the way she followed God and God's will is also shown throughout the ministry of Jesus, how his mother had this attitude. The first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of John, you may recall, was the changing of water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. This is John chapter 2. There's seven miracles in the Gospel of John, and the first was changing the water into wine. It was Mary that came to Jesus at the wedding, if you read John 2 with me, and she said to her son, they have no wine. they're out of wine. And then in the fifth verse of John's Gospel, chapter 2, she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And Jesus created a new wine that was so good. The caterer of the feast said to the bridegroom, everyone serves the best wine in the beginning, and later, after everyone is full, that which is worse. But you have saved the good wine until now. That's John 2, verse 10. Isn't that something? Jesus honored his mother. It's interesting, even a lot of well-known people have honored their mother in some way. I love Elvis's music, and of course he's beloved musically internationally. But he had a deep love for his mother, and his early recordings I absolutely love. They're very low-tech, but his mother loved a song that my mother loved, and he recorded it really cheap. And you can now get this record he made for like 50 cents or something for his mom. You can go on YouTube, put in Elvis Presley, My Happiness. I'll just do a line of it for you. But he sings this song for his mother, Elvis did. It's the very first time he's ever recorded. You can hear him strumming his little guitar and singing. It goes something like this. I'll just do a line or two for you. It's actually one of my mother's favorite songs. In fact, recently I was Facebook video with my mom and said, what song would you like me to do for you? And she said this song, and it's the song that her and I used to play together when I was a kid on my guitar and her on her accordion. But it's also the first song Elvis recorded for his mother, Gladys. It's called My Happiness. It goes like this. I'm doing this live for you. Hopefully it'll be okay. Where the skies are gray or blue, no one else on earth will do. Just as long as I'm with you, my happiness. Every night I reminisce, I'm dreaming of your tender kiss, always thinking how I need my happiness. A million years it seems has gone by since we shared our dream. If I could see you once again, there would be no blue memories then. Anywhere on earth will do, just as long as I'm with you. No one else but you will do. That song is for my mother and for all the mothers out there. In fact, since I have my guitar in my hand, I wrote a song for my mother. It's an original song, and I'd like to do some of it for all the mothers listening. And I just call this song Mama, and I hope all of you like it. It's for all of you mothers out there. Oh, my mama, do you feel your job's a thankless one? Do you ever wish that you were young again? It's not a sin. So many pressures came at you. Seems so much you had to do. My mama, lay your burden down. Mama, love is all around. Look at all that you've come through. God's been taking care of you, Mama. Oh, time goes by. I see now my papa's wife has found herself past her midlife. And oh,
my mind. I could never repay you for all those little things you do. My mama, lay your burden down. Mama, hear God the Father's sound. Someday it may be worth it all. If you could see me standing tall someday. Hey, hey, hey. Your little boy loves you, and I hope that I can be a good man for you. Ooh. Look at all that you've been through. God's been taking care of you, Mama.
We love you, all you moms out there. We love you so much. And that song is written as a labor of love, a song of love. A mother's prayers are so powerful, and Mary kept things in her heart about Jesus and prayed for him. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, "Everything I am, I owe to my angel mother." The Mills Brothers, a group from my home state of Pennsylvania, had a song, My Mother's Eyes. It was a beautiful song, but I remember the chorus, the words said, one bright and shining light that always taught me wrong from right, I found in my mother's eyes. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, men are what their mothers make them. And in Jesus' case, Mary was central to his ministry. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, his last words reflected concern for his mother. Did you know that? He looked to the apostle John, the youngest of the apostles, and he said, John, take care of my mother, Mary. He said, John, behold your mother. Behold your mother. Can you imagine the heartache Mary felt, what she endured seeing her son crucified as he died to take away the sins of the world? John 1:29 said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But in that moment, as his mother looked up and saw his nail-riven hands. And John 19:26, he says, John, behold your mother. And then he says to Mary, behold your son. He was in that culture saying, basically, John, make sure you look after my mother, and vice versa. Jesus on the cross suffered excruciating physical pain. I won't go into the crucifixion in gory detail, but there's plenty of people who have that you can read about what he suffered. And of course, Mel Gibson made a film focusing on the passion and showing that. But I believe Jesus also suffered emotional pain as he saw his beloved mother's anguish, as he saw her loneliness at the cross. His mother's broken heart broke Jesus' heart as he saw his mother's silent endurance. All mothers face pain. When I remember when I was in Italy, my film sister Amy was up for an award in Milan at a film festival, and we had a free day, and I went by myself to the Vatican's Art Museum, and I went to Mass at St. Peter's. But when I went to Mass in St. Peter's, in the outside foyer was Michelangelo's Pietà, which is a statue of Jesus after he died on the cross in the arms of his mother Mary, weeping and holding him. And Mary was always there, always faithful. You know, a mother's prayers are so powerful. A mother is always there. A mother is always there for us. It might always be smooth. You know, we have our rough patches sometimes, but we can always know that a good mother is going to be there. And she was there for Jesus, even at the cross. And did you know she was also there in Jerusalem at Pentecost with the apostles in the upper room? If you read Acts chapter 1, before the Holy Spirit's poured out at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, it lists the people in the upper room praying that were filled with the Spirit in that great move of the Holy Spirit. And it says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was among the number there. And I believe she was probably a spiritual mother in that church, the early church. And Mary's sorrow was now changed into new confidence and new commitment to the early church because her son rose from the dead. Oh, she must have been so happy. The resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though we're dead, yet shall he live. My lyrics to the song I just sang, in case you missed it, it says, do you feel your job's a thankless one? Do you ever wish that you were young again? So many pressures come at you, it seems so much for you to do. You were always doing what needed done, but often the unrecognized one. I could never repay you for all those little things you do. Look at all that you've been through. Mama, God's been taking care of you. God takes care of our mothers so they can take care of us. And like Mary, good mothers are always there, prayerful for their children, faithful to the end. In this uncertain hour where people feel unsettled in this whole situation with Corona, when the very foundation of our social intercourse of going to restaurants and businesses and malls to shop and everything seems battered by this trauma of, now some states are opening up in the South and other areas and trying to find our way again. We need mothers more than ever, those who are nurturers, those who are caring, because people are stressed out. I've seen people snap at each other at the post office and different things. But Jesus always paid tribute to his mother. If someone's nice to my mother, I appreciate that. If they're not nice to my mother, I don't appreciate that at all. And so I think it's nice that we were able to take this time today in this message and really honor Mary and really think about Mary. You know, the Catholic Church does quote that scripture quite a bit. I was raised Catholic, about what the angel said, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That's in the Gospel of Luke, and that's the Hail Mary. It's called the Hail Mary. But when I became a born-again Christian, a lot of times in church history, people overreact and take the pendulum to the other extreme. So some have felt that, all the Catholics, they will accuse them of worshiping Mary or elevating Mary too much. But what they go to the other extreme. I mean, the scripture says here in Luke, all generations would call her blessed and talk about what an example she was. When I was in the Protestant circles or the evangelical or fundamentalist circles or Liberty University, never once did I ever hear a sermon, talking about Mary and how she was blessed among women and looking in her life like we've done today. So, stay close to the Lord and watch out. The church is constantly vacillating between various extremes. And I think we saw in the scripture here how important mothers are and how important Mary was in the life of her son, the Son of God, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 12 talks about the mother of the King of Kings, and it describes her being crowned in heaven. And there's other interpretations of that Revelation 12 passage. That's one interpretation. Some say that's Israel, and there's various ways of looking at it. But when we think about the crowning of the mother in Revelation 12, I think this is a day in which we can take a moment and give a crown or give a tribute to all the mothers that are out there. And when you think about Jesus on that cross, he truly, truly took away all of our sins, past, present, and future. It says in 1 Peter, he is the Savior of the world who has reconciled us to God. Now, we're going to have communion together, and I want to give a moment for you if you'd like to go and get bread for yourself. If there's more than one person listening in your home, you could get a little piece of bread, and if you want to get something to drink for the cup, I don't know if you, whatever you have, some people use grape juice or wine, but if you don't have that and you have another type of drink, and we can't have communion the typical way as we do when we meet in Eternal Grace churches around the world, but I'm going to lead communion in a moment. And as we do that and think about Jesus' love for his mother as he died on the cross, our leading lady in our new film, Canaan Land, is going to sing a special hymn. It's one of the great hymns of the faith that I love, called There's Room at the Cross at You. And this is Rebecca Holden playing the piano and singing. But she's a Juilliard pianist and singer. And our new film, Canaan Land, is coming out later this year. The novel, my novel, Canaan Land, was just released on Amazon. And I want to thank those of you that have already ordered it and for your support, because that helps support our ministry. And that money helps us finish the film. And we still need money to finish the film. So thank you for getting my novel, Canaan Land. I've seen some wonderful selfies coming in. Angie in Alabama just sent the, one of the recent ones in with her holding it up. And Kelly in the Southeast with her Team Rossi t-shirt. And Jane in Indianapolis. And we have some more coming in. So thank you for getting the Canaanland novel. And on the cover, you'll see Rebecca Holden, who played Sister Sarah in the film version that's coming out. And Rebecca, you're just going to feel the Holy Spirit as you listen to her sing. She's ready to start on her piano now. And so as she's doing this, if you'd like to get a little piece of bread and a little something to drink to do communion with us, feel free to look in your cupboard for, you know, break off a piece of bread. And, you know, find something to drink. And we'll be back in just a moment to have communion together. This is Rebecca Holden. Piano and singing, There's Room at the Cross for You. Have your bread and cup. We're going to have communion now. In a moment, we will open up the lines. Some of you are already sending in feedback questions, and some of you already are sending in Gmail questions. You can send it to Richard Rossi Live, richardrossilive@gmail.com. A question coming in, and it's urgent regarding communion since we're about to have it. This is from Vic in Virginia. Vic said he'd like to join us for communion, but is unworthy because of sins in his life. And he remembers the scripture in Corinthians that says, if you're unworthy, if you sin, you cannot partake. And my comment on that verse. Vic, I want to correct a, respectfully and lovingly correct a misinterpretation of the scripture that you're doing, and I don't blame you or fault you for it because it's the way it's commonly taught, but it's incorrectly taught, and this is very, very important. And if you understand and listen carefully, Vic, as I explain it, then you actually are welcome. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You quote the scripture and say, if you're unworthy, you can't take it. You eat and drink damnation or condemnation to yourself. I'm going to open my Bible now. This is my first one of my first Bibles I got as a new Christian. My friend Mike Miller gave it to me. and it's pretty worn, but I just opened it up to Corinthians 11. The verse 27 you're referring to, and this is a very important distinction to correct the error of what you said in your email. It says here, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." The word unworthily is an adverb. And maybe Kelly, our teacher out there, can explain better than me, but I'll do my best. An adverb modifies the action. An adjective describes the person or the thing. Why is this important? Because the preachers and teachers, 99.9% of the time, misquote this and make unworthily the adverb an adjective to describe a person and say that you're unworthy, you can't have communion if you sin because you're unworthy. That is not an adjective. Look very carefully at the text. It's an adverb. In other words, it's not saying if you sin and feel unworthy, you can't have communion. It isn't an adjective unworthy. It's an adverb unworthily. It's saying to not do it in a manner, in the way that you do it, is unworthily. This is a very important distinction, Vic. Very important. And he explains further in the text that if you do this in a flippant way and don't understand that Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has made you worthy and forgiven your sins, then you will be under condemnation because you're under the law. You have a law mindset. I quoted the scripture earlier, 2 Corinthians 3:6, "The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit gives life." So if you come to communion and you still have the law hanging over your head and that legalism that if you sin, you should be damned and stoned and condemned, and you don't discern the body and blood of the Lord, it says. You need to discern that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as we take this bread and take this cup, in terms of us all measuring up and being perfect, none of us could take it. If we have to be worthy by hitting the mark on our own, then none of us can have communion. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. The word sin there is hamartia. It's an archery term. And if you enjoyed archery, Vic, as I did as a kid, you know that you're aiming for that bullseye. And hamartia means like a broken arrow that doesn't quite hit the bullseye. We're not perfect. We're not worthy in terms of us perfectly measuring up. That's the whole point of communion, is it's a provision in which Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," in John 6. It's Jesus that he has made us worthy. Vic, you may feel unworthy, but as long as you come here and do it in a worthy manner by discerning and putting your trust in Christ as your Savior, you can have communion with us right now. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, Vic. Just pray, "Dear Jesus, I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose again from the dead the third day. You said in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, that I would be saved. I discern the body and blood as I come today to communion that you have made me worthy. You who knew no sin became sin to make me the righteousness of God, worthy in Christ. You are all my worthiness." So as we take communion today, I want you to think, I want you all, each and every one of you out there, to meditate upon the fact of the love of Jesus Christ on that cross. Even to those crucifying him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I want to play my friend Josie, who's on the broadcast and will join us in our call-in time in a moment. She wrote a song with Billy Preston, who was called the Fourth Beatle because he played on the last Beatles album on the keyboards, Let It Be album. He also had a lot of beautiful songs, a love song with You, I'm Born Again, Nothing from Nothing, one of his big hits. Josie and Billy wrote a song, and Billy sings it, called Father, Forgive Them. And I'm going to play that in a moment. And if, by the way, I mentioned that Josie has not had her own children, but she's been a mother to many through her ministry in L.A. County Jail as a chaplain. If you want to read more of her story, I wrote a cover endorsement on the back cover of her book. It's called Backstage Pass to Heaven, Josie Pollock. It's on Amazon. And you can watch a documentary film on her life on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and watch, search out On Faith Alone, Josie Pollock. So Josie jokes and says, I'm her PR agent. I guess I am. You know, I tend to push people that I care about and, you know, push them and brag on them and try to help them. So Josie's book's great and she's great. And this song she wrote is great. So I'm going to play it in a moment. But let's take the bread, whatever you got, whatever piece of bread you have. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. It's given up for you. As oft as you eat this bread with me, you remember my death, burial, and resurrection until I come back for you. Do this in memory of me. Let's take the bread together and we'll listen a little bit to Josie's song she wrote with Billy Preston, entitled Father, Forgive Them. Take the bread with me.
Does it make you sad? How the people on earth have become so bad? Man, can be melody tonight is at an all-time high. When you look long, does it make you cry? When you look at the church,
if you have something for the cup,
does it hurt you too?
Let's take that together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins and the sins of the whole world. As often as you take this cup, eat it in memory of me. Let's drink the cup together, whatever you have for that. In the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Hallelujah.
Forgive us, Father, for the way that you do. Forgive us, Father, forgive us, please.
Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and we're going to the phone lines now if you want to call. Our service, our online service is usually approximately 2 hours, maybe a little under that. Today will be a little shorter so that you are able to go and be with your mom or give them a call or a Zoom or FaceTime or Facebook video chat, somehow reach out, send her a message. If you want to share an encouraging word right now in our open share time, the number is there on your screen. It's a New York number, area code 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. I just played Josie's song, and she's on line one. Hey, Josie, welcome to the show. Can you hear me, Josie? Oh, I don't think Josie's coming through here. Let's try that again. We had a line cross here, technical difficulties. Is he there, Josie?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now. Did your song sound any better?
It sounded better than last time, yes.
Oh, good, good. I wanted to play it again because we had some sound issues last time. And thank you, Kelly, for the sound checks out there and helping us get that better.
One of my spiritual children is here, Stephanie, and she brought me a beautiful bunch of flowers and a lovely card.
Oh, that's so sweet. Stephanie's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Sometimes. She said sometimes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, what encouraging words
for
you guys?
You
saw her my plug. Am I doing good as your publicist, Josie?
You're doing pretty good, yes. We need to get on some secular stations.
Yes, we do. Well, guess what, Josie? I'm going to be on a secular station Tuesday talking about Roberto Clemente on a secular radio station. That film came out like 7 years ago and a secular radio station, a sports guy, wants to interview me about that.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. So I'll share the link with everyone midweek. Once there's a link up, you all can listen to that. What encouraging word do you have, Josie, for the moms out there, or even for anyone just, unsettled with the corona thing, you know, anything on your heart? Same with you, Stephanie, anything you want to share?
You know, it's something I wanted to share, and you'll read about it in my book. This week, we celebrated the 75th year of victory in Europe, where all Great Britain and France and Europe was celebrating the end of the war.
And you were a little girl in England when the Nazis were there.
I was, and suddenly we had no fear, and we were all excited. It was an exciting time. We still had rationing. That went on for a few more years, but this time reminds me a lot of the war, where we're all stuck in our houses.
Yes, yes. And what would you say to people that are unsettled or discouraged, or it's, you know, the whole sequestered thing they're fearful. What would you say to encourage the people out there?
Well, you have to read, first of all, Psalm 91. Where God touches about his protection, and fear and faith can't go together. So you have to exert your faith and leave fear, which is false expectations appearing real. And unfortunately, there are so many videos out there where people are trying to make you so fearful that I just get so angry. And it's all propaganda.
There's a lot of conspiracy videos out there that are getting everybody worked up. There's one that's really going nuts, and I might offend people out there that believe in it, but there's one, I think it's called Plandemic. And it's just going viral. Everybody's sharing the thing. And
conspiracy to scare you.
Right. Yeah, and it's basically saying the opposite of what the doctors are saying. It's saying don't wear the mask and don't social distance and don't listen to the doctors. And this is all just a plan to make money off the vaccine. And I mean, I'm not God, I'm not infallible, but my spirit tells me that there are predators out there that are capitalizing on the fear to make money. Because when you look at the pandemic, the woman, the doctor that's claiming she was banned from all the other medical people, she's, of course, marketing things and selling things. And if this was really life and death medical information, they wouldn't be profiting and marketing this video the way they're doing that. It would be something they'd be like getting out free to help everybody. But a lot of the Christians tend to fall for the conspiracy stuff more than anybody I know, I've found.
I understand that. And they send me videos, and I go, don't send me this stuff. And then they tell me that I'm a loser.
Wow.
Someone that's living in their car is telling me I'm a loser.
Well, you're a winner, just.
But anyway, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass. Yeah, I want to tell all of you listening out there, this is not the end of the world. I know there are preachers out there saying this is the end of the world. And I want you all to know it's not the end of the world. It's going to pass. And we're going to get through this. And just stay close to the Lord and keep reading Psalm 91, like Josie said.
I'm still hoping Jesus comes back soon.
Yes. Well, come quickly, Lord
Jesus. I mean, I'm fed up with a lot of Christians, but I'm still into Jesus.
Yeah, I understand that. Some of these very judgmental, self-righteous Christians, I wasn't.
The church has lost its first love.
Yes.
And so it's lost the plot.
Yeah.
We
Jesus
need
said that.
To practice loving and caring instead of judging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're called to be on the witness stand, not the judgment seat. So this is a time to witness to people, to share the gospel, to announce the good news, and not to be given into fear. And for some reason, a lot of the Christians give into the fear, and they're the most fearful people around. This is a time in the early church. There were plagues a lot worse than Corona. There were plagues in the early church period, wiping out millions of people. And when John wrote Revelation, he was writing in a time where there was just death all around. But the Christians shone with such love and such faith, and they were using it as a chance to share Jesus and to, you know, the church kept growing and growing and growing because, you know, the Romans said, behold how they love one another. Look at how they're not afraid. Look at how they go and minister to the sick. Look at how they're, you know, you feed them to the lions and their last breath, they're praising God, you know.
Right.
So this is a chance for us to really, you know, stay calm and be at peace and have that peace that passes all understanding. Well, thank you, Josie. Maybe I'll check in on the other line. I think it's Jeff here. And we're going to have a bit of a shorter broadcast today for Mother's Day. But, Jeff, do you have something encouraging to share with the listeners today?
I have something that every listener can do, actually.
What's that?
The last 2 days, I've been struggling with a kidney stone. And it's very, very painful. And it hasn't gone yet. In fact, I can still feel it on my side right now. I woke up about 1:15 and just enough time to get on the phone, basically, with you. So if it hits me, I'm going to drop off the phone and you and going back to into the bedroom, basically. But I'd like to ask everybody right now, to you know, when they finish this radio show, to offer up a word of prayer for me that this too shall pass. Like Josie said, this too shall pass.
Well, let's pray for you right now, Jeff, because I always believe when someone asks for prayer, so often we say, "Oh, I'll pray for you, brother," and we never do. In part because it's just kind of a nice thing to say is, "I'll pray for you, brother," but then we don't do it. So let's all pray right now. We pray for Jeff with the pain he's going through. We speak healing to this kidney stone situation. Relieve it. Let him right now feel your Holy Spirit hand on him. And we thank you so much, Jesus, for you are the healer. And we pray not only for healing for Jeff, but we pray for an end to this coronavirus and any that are sick with the coronavirus. Come, Holy Spirit, on all our listeners, Lord, right now. Any sickness in any form, mind or body, come, Jesus, and heal. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your blessing. Bring your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of mothers, Lord, the impact they have on our lives. Well, speaking of mothers, we're going to have a shorter broadcast today so that you can go be with those special people in your life. Thank you for tuning in to this online service. God bless each and every one of you. And we'll have a longer broadcast, our next online service. Go with God and be blessed. Forgive us, Father, forgive us, please.
forgive us, please. Forgive us, please.